in John 11 is that Jesus was in Jerusalem. And he ticked off the Jewish establishment like he did many times, right? I mean, you know, he said he was God. I mean, that's what he heard them saying. And they were going to stone him. And he slipped out of the crowd and made his way up the north, across the Jordan, and up into the region where John the Baptist hung out. And you know, Jesus always made use of these interlude times. And he was up there healing and preaching the kingdom of God, and you know, great things always happened where Jesus went. And so, in the midst of this time, he gets a message from Martha and Mary. And the message was that Lazarus, their brother, was really sick. I mean, deathly ill. That his life hung in the balance. And so, what did Jesus do? Scramble around and head off to Bethany? No, he hung back for 2 days. And then, finally, he takes off for Bethany. And that's where we pick up our scripture reading today. John 11, 17. All right, there it is. Magic. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Martha?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." For some of, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Now the two sisters, I want to look at how Jesus dealt with these two sisters in completely different ways. They both came to Jesus and had the same response, didn't they? They both said what? They both said, Lord, if you had been there. Martha came, said that, and then Mary came verbatim and said, Lord, if you had been there. They both said the same thing. Exactly. But Jesus, surprisingly, like he always does things, he's always surprising us, isn't he? When you read the New Testament, he's always doing things that are different. He's always catching us off guard, and he does here too. With Martha, he almost, you know, Martha's in despair. And he almost argues with her. He kind of pushes back against the flow of her sorrow, kind of pushes back against it. But then he gives her hope, and boom, he hits her right between the eyes with, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. No messing around there, right? I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha is stunned, I'm sure. I'm sure she didn't totally grasp a hold of what Jesus was saying to her. But she knew enough about Jesus. You know, I think that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were friends with Jesus because they hung out with him a lot, or he hung out with them a lot. Their home was probably a base of operation for Jesus. It was close to Jerusalem, and they were good friends, and they hung out. So Martha knew Jesus. Martha knew him. She didn't know what he was doing here. She didn't understand, I am the resurrection and the life. He's bringing her up. She's down here, and he's bringing her up here. But she knew Jesus because she'd been with him. And she said, yes, Lord. You know, I can relate to that. Can you relate to that? Yeah. I mean, I've been there. I've been there perplexed. I've been almost in despair at times. But Jesus is standing there and he's saying, do you believe me? Do you believe me? He's asking me that. And I'm not sure of all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I know I've hung around Jesus enough. You know? I know enough to say, yes, Lord, let's go. I'll follow you. But to Mary, who said the exact same thing, If you had been here, his response was completely the opposite. Instead of arguing and confronting her, he was almost speechless. He instead of pushing back against the flow of her despair, he jumps into it. He gets into her despair with her. He kind of comes up alongside of her and weeps. He sobs with her. He groans with her. It says that he wept. And all he could say was, "Where did you lay him?" That's all I could say. Wow. Why the two different responses? We could probably chalk it up to Jesus was just an incredibly wise person relationally. He knew that that's what Mary needed. He knew that that's what Martha needed. But there's a deeper thing going on here. That Jesus was showing this incredible, deeper understanding of himself, who he is, the person of Christ, who he is, and what he came for, the work of Christ. And when he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he wasn't saying, "I have the power to raise Lazarus back to life." He was saying, "I am life. I gave Lazarus his life. I will give it back to Lazarus. I am life itself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life. There is no life apart from me." Huh? "I am God." That's what he was saying. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. We were just reading this with the Wiz Kids, two kids. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." That person is the person that is talking to Martha. He's the one that created everything we can see, everything we can't see, and he holds everything together. And he's saying to Martha, "Don't despair. I got your back. You and your brother is going to be okay. And Mary, everything's going to be okay. If you believe in me." Jesus was making a clear statement that he's God. He's truly God. But that doesn't explain the totality of who Jesus is. Because with Mary, he breaks down, sobbing beneath the weight of her despair, of her grief. He breaks down. What kind of God do we have here? Huh? That he breaks down, sobbing with this woman. Huh? Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that great to think about this? That we have a God that is so human that he feels for us. That he feels our emotions. That he has emotions like that. That he's with us. That he's one with us. That Jesus Christ was fully human. That there's no doubt about that. And that God did this unbelievable thing. That he became a person that was really human and experienced grief and sorrow to this depth like this, that he was sobbing with Mary in this situation. And he's saying here that he's with us like that. And we have a lot of people. We have folks in the hospital. We've had a lot of funerals. We've had a lot of stuff. Jesus is there with us. He feels pain, the pain of death and sorrow of losing loved ones. That's the kind of God we have in Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human. But back at the tomb, what do we have? So we have the grieving sisters, we have a sobbing God-man, and we have a bunch of confused Jews. You know, they're wondering, these Jews, they came up from Jerusalem, and some of them were probably the same guys that wanted to stone him before. And they're saying, well, you know, he's saying that he's God, it sounds like, again, but now he's sobbing. What's going on here? And so Jesus then removes all doubt. So let's read the rest of the story. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Now, when it says Jesus was greatly disturbed, it means he was greatly disturbed. He was greatly disturbed because he hated this whole deal. He hated the sorrow. He hated the pain. He hated it. It wasn't the way he created things. It wasn't the world that he had in mind. That sin had interrupted this whole thing and caused all of this stuff. And he hated it. That's why he was disturbed. And he was walking towards the tomb knowing that he was walking towards his tomb, his death. I'll explain later. It was a cave and a stone laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Mary, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench." Martha was always worried about stuff. because he had been in there 4 days. He stinketh. No. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now, Jesus knew what was going on here. He knew that raising Lazarus from the dead was going to set in motion a plot to have the Jews would have him killed. And that's exactly what happened. In verse 53, it says that, so from that day on, they planned to put him to death. Jesus knew that. He knew that raising Lazarus from the dead, raising Lazarus out of the tomb, was going to put him in the tomb. Raising him out of the grave was going to put him in the grave. That's what Jesus knew. He knew that all the time. When he was walking towards the tomb, he knew and understood and felt the jaws of death getting a hold of him. He could feel and understand the horror of being betrayed by his friends, being scourged in the praetorium, mocked trials, the thorny crown, carrying his cross to Golgotha, being nailed to the cross. He knew all that was coming. He could feel it. And yet, Jesus yelled, Lazarus, come out. He did it for us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. No love has any man had that's greater than that love that you've had, that you have for us than you have. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us life. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray, Lord, that we could say to you, yes, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.